Well, good morning and welcome. It is, as always, really good to be together. As Dan mentioned, now turning our attention toward Advent, away from the Amidah for now and toward Advent. Before we get after it, though, today, let me go ahead and dismiss our young ones. You are invited to go to Children's Church. For the rest of us, I want to invite us this morning to turn to what is called the Gospel according to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 11. The Gospel according to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 11, we're going to look at the first 10 verses. If you're grabbing a Pew Bible, 491. Let me invite Cliff to come on up. He's going to read for us Isaiah chapter 11, the first 10 verses, and then we'll pray, and then I'll say some things, share some stuff. And then throw out a few questions as we close. So Isaiah chapter 11, the first 10 verses.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or what he hears, or decide what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will lie down with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will not neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his rest will be glorious.
Thank you, Cliff. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this season. Lord, as we dive into your word now, as we take a look at this passage, we ask that you would be here, that your presence would be indeed with us, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. Lord, would you be in and over and under and all through my words that I would speak your heart. And may when we leave here today, we maybe leave different other than when we first came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know how many of you maybe saw the news this morning. Although really, it's not any different from every morning, right? As Jesus puts it, wars and rumors of wars, right? There's violence and there's suffering. There's all kinds of abuse. There's injustice and inequality, persecution, oppression. There's all kinds of hardship, right? We get it. We know it. We feel it. For those in the days of Isaiah, they too got it. They knew it. They felt it. Who they were as a people, their national identity was in shatters. Many of them were living in a foreign land. They were castaways. And yet it's into that very sort of reality that here comes the prophet Isaiah, right? Speaking into that experience, speaking into that reality. Here comes the prophet Isaiah reminding them that in the midst of the day-to-day stuff of life, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the struggle and the challenge, in the midst of the inequality and the injustice, in the midst of the ache and the anxiety, in the midst of all of it, that their longing for something other than what is was not to be in vain. Their longing for something other than what is was not to be in vain. In fact, Isaiah, he paints a picture for us. He kind of gives us this illustration. He gives us a vision. He speaks of a branch blossoming, of a spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and of might. He speaks of a movement of righteousness and justice. He says where the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the goat, the calf, the lion, the yearling, they will all, he says, live and lie down together. And then he says, a little child will lead them. Noting the gospel according to Isaiah, it goes the way of Jesus, right? The root of Jesse, it is here in Jesus. A branch bearing much fruit, it is now in Jesus. Wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, it is found in Jesus. That in the midst of all of it, our longing for something other than what is not in vain. It is, we could say, a revolutionary longing. A revolutionary longing that in Jesus meets a world with a message of hope and joy, a message of love and of peace. While the most hopeful among the scattered of Israel envisioned a returning to and a reclaiming of their homeland, Isaiah's vision calls them to something so much more, right? According to Isaiah, not simply a return to what had been. I mean, there is a return of sorts, but not simply a return to what had been. As Isaiah puts it, right, not a nation restored, but as a world transformed. Right, and a little child, we read, will lead them. This is the gospel according to Isaiah. Right? And a little child will lead them. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots. A branch will bear fruit. Right? Invading the news of today, the news of this morning, invading the news of every morning, invading the brokenness, invading the violence and the suffering and the abuse, and invading the inequality and the injustice, invading all of it, right? A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. It's a world transformed, right? This new world, a new kind of world in which, as Isaiah puts it, right, in which the wolf will live with the lamb. I mean, can we imagine? The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie with the goat. And then together, the calf, the lion, the yearling, right, all together. And it says, and a little child, we could say, will lead the way. Will lead them, will lead you and me. It is, we could say, a revolution where they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. And yet to receive it, I would argue we must enter into the longing. We must enter into the longing to recognize that all is not as it should be. That maybe we're not as we should be. From the pastor and author Leonard Sweet, he says what had to happen was the drop by drop, inch by inch, prophet by prophet preparation of God's people, of God's world, for the transformative moment. The children's writer and poet Madeline L'Engle speaks of this kind of transformative moment. She's both scientifically, I would say, interested and theologically minded, and she speaks to what Sweet calls this transformative moment in The Bethlehem Explosion. It's a poem she wrote. She writes, "The chemistry lab at school was in an old greenhouse surrounded by ancient live oaks garnished with Spanish moss. The experiment I remember best was pouring a quart of clear fluid into a glass jar and dropping into it, grain by grain, salt-sized crystals until they layered like white sand on the floor of the jar. Then one more grain, and suddenly water and crystal burst into a living, moving pattern, a silent, quietly violent explosion. The teacher told us that only when we supersaturated the solution would come the precipitation. The little Bethlehem town was like the glass jar in our lab. One by one, they came, grain by grain, all those of the house of David, like grains of sand to be counted. The inn was full. When Joseph knocked, his wife was already in labor. There was no room even for compassion. Until the barn was offered, that was the precipitating factor. A child was born, and the pattern changed forever. The cosmos shaken with that silent explosion. It is called the principle of emergence, this idea that small changes lead to large, sort of cosmic, earth-shattering sorts of effects. Right? One more poor, insignificant shoot from that old stump of Jesse. And it's in that little town of Bethlehem then, in a simple stable, perhaps under a covering of darkness, that final divine addition fell to the earth. And we read, a little child will lead them. A little child will lead the way. A little child will lead you and me. All that Israel desired really was to reclaim their national homeland. Was to reestablish their national borders. And instead, all of creation was given this promise of peace. All of humanity was given this promise of hope. Hope in a new tomorrow. This is Advent. This is Advent, right? The birth of a tiny baby. The cosmic sort of explosion. Right, the birth of a baby in this cosmic explosion, right? This is the invitation of Advent. This is the invitation to you and me, inviting us to imagine, yes, a world indeed where the wolf, right, is living with the lamb. Again, the leopard with the goat, right? The calf, the lion, the yearling, all together in a little child, we read, shall lead us. Right? It's an invitation, but it's not an invitation just for something like freedom from conflict. Right? This is an invitation for peace, right, to spread across all the earth. This is an invitation, but it's an invitation not just for my own financial security. Right? It's an invitation for poverty to disappear from all the corners of our world. It's an invitation, but not just an invitation that I might have good health and live a long life. But it's an invitation that we might be rid of all sickness and disease. And so, as we enter into this Advent season, and for the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about this revolutionary longing. We're going to talk about the revolutionary reality of Jesus. But as we live into this invitation, this Advent season, into the midst of our longing for something other than what is, I want to invite us to consider, how is God inviting me to participate in His Advent reality? How is God inviting me to participate in His Advent reality? How might I participate in His Advent presence? How might I share in his Advent reality, share in His Advent presence here and now? We could ask, how is God inviting me, how is God inviting you to live into Isaiah's vision? How is He inviting us to live into Isaiah's vision? In other words, to consider, where do I see injustice? Where do I see conflict? Where do I notice suffering? Where do I notice pain and brokenness? Where do I observe fear and worry? And then how might God be inviting me to invade those spaces? How might God be inviting me to invade those spaces? To put it another way, we could simply ask, how might I reflect hope and joy and peace and love to others this Advent season? Today, tomorrow, 2022, how might I reflect hope and joy and peace and love to others this Advent season? A shoot, it says, will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And it says, and a little child will lead us.